This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, February 24th, 2011.
The time is 4:45, and I'm calling the February 24th Student Assembly Meeting to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Absent.
All right, Savion's walking in. He's here. Andrews is here. Minagard is here. No, Savion's here. Yeah. He's unexcused. Yeah.
Present.
Danzer's excused, half absent.
Here.
Unexcused. He'll probably be late. You could just put him as late, probably. Here. He is unexcused. He is unexcused.
Here.
Unexcused.
Here.
He is late, unexcused. Late, unexcused.
Raps is here.
Oh, Raps is here, sorry. Natalie's here. Rao is excused. He has a dining event.
All right. Before we go on to approval of the minutes, I would just like to note that all attendance records are left in the minutes, and if you approved the previous week's minutes and you're marked as absent or as present, that is the official record. And once the minutes have been approved, I don't know what the procedure is to change them again, but you can still change them, but it's going to be a longer process. So make sure you're reviewing the minutes. Make sure that you review that you're marked on time, tardy, or whatnot, but that is the official record for the student assembly of your attendance, as well as, of course, all the other business and what you say, and make sure that the record is accurate. So with that being said, we're moving to approval of the February 10th minutes. Has everybody had a chance to look at them? If you haven't, I encourage that you just motion that we table that till next week, or postpone till next week.
I'll postpone it.
All right. And we'll also postpone the 17th as well. So review those minutes, make sure that everything is accurate at them, and then we'll do amendments. Next is open microphone.
Open microphone. If we have any non-SA members in the audience who would like to talk on anything not currently on the agenda, please feel free to come up to the microphone. You're good? Okay. All right, thank you.
Announcements and reports. Elections update by Director of Elections Stang, who is not here. Moving on to business of the day, Resolution 51, we're going to postpone until he gets here. Resolution 54, amendment of the 2010-2011 standing rules. Well, EVP Mensa.
Really bad.
What else?
Okay, so this resolution here is pretty straightforward. It basically changes the way that everyone had access to business of the day. I know that the first draft of the things were back in September. We've done in the past is that we entire day have voted dual times
up to business of the day, by the rules, that's not allowed, so just want to get that, back in order right now. So that's what this amendment does. It gives power back to the essay as a whole, as well as the new up to business of the day. I need to legitimize what has been going on.
With that, the first on the speaker's list is Representative Kerr.
He actually answered my question, so
all right. Call the question in a second. You dissent? Okay. Would you like to speak? Please, go ahead.
I guess I'd like to make an amendment that says, so the last line says now, four by the majority vote.
All right, we're going back to the motion. This is first and the second. Is there any dissent? We'll go ahead and do a voice vote. If you're in favor of enacting, please say yes.
Yes.
If you're against, please say no. Seeing none, Resolution 54 is approved. Moving on to Resolution 55, making student housing equitable.
Oh, is that us?
That's you guys.
Yeah.
Yes, Brock, Kay, Renardo, if he's here.
No. That's two, then a present, then absent. He just nicked it.
All right, you have 4 minutes to present your resolution this for a second time. Please speak into the mic, please. So would you like to just table or just postpone the resolution? All right. So we're going to go ahead and postpone the resolution unless there's dissent from the floor. Seeing none, Resolution 55 is postponed indefinitely until the sponsors bring it back to the floor. Going back to announcements and reports, elections updates by Director of Elections Sang.
Certainly. So, given the fact that everyone here that is running knows all about us, we have a limited capacity crowd today. Please vote March 1st through the 3rd.
Moving on to new business, Resolution 57, SUNY student Assembly Legislative Agenda. Co-sponsored by Matt Danzer and EVP Mensa. May the record please note that EVP Mensa is a co-sponsor. Hey, Brittany, can you put Mensa, Ray Mensa, as a co-sponsor of Resolution 57? No, on the record, thank you.
Thank you.
Would you like to, this is still in the business, so
right.
Do you want to move to business today at all, or no? Okay.
I want to know.
Sounds good. Are there any questions on Resolution 57? Have you all gotten a chance to review the report? If you haven't, I suggest that you all go on your emails and review the report. Also, my quick question, could this be a census body resolution or not? Does it have to be legislation?
I think it could be census body because... Okay. This is basically being forwarded to the legislature.
Okay. So I would, if we're not voting on it today, I would just suggest that we change it to sense of body, and then we have at least one version of the report printed out so that audience members can vote if they're in the crowd. Yeah. I would encourage it to be in the packet, but sometimes they don't print it so that to save paper. Do you know how long the document is? Oh yeah. So let's get that printed next week. Yeah, let's get that printed next week. But usually, if the document's like 20 pages, usually we don't print it. All right. Thank you. Meaning there are no questions, right? Seeing none, we will move on to Resolution 58, Increasing Spring 2011 Elections Committee Budget. And I think Director of Elections Feng would like this to be moved up to business of the day, Resolution 58.
I would right? love that.
Yes. So there's been a motion to move this up to business of the day. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Would you please go up to the front of the room and present your resolution? Is there any dissent to that? Seeing none, we're just going to move it to today. You have 4 minutes to present your resolution.
Hey guys, so basically we've been doing a lot of voting actually for the election for the stock, both in terms of when the candidates had to go out, as well as for the debate and then once voting starts. There's going to be actually another initiative in terms of generating more people to vote. We're partnering with currently working department with Cornell Dining about essentially handing out either coupons or essentially kind of discounts on coffee once people register to vote, and we'll handle that as well. And so that's all coming out of the budget, which is creating a bunch of work, and that's why I'm kind of making a additional request.
All right. Representative Curry, first in the speaker's list.
Can you lay out exactly how these initiatives are going to be spent, just like what you have in mind for the next election cycle?
The next election cycle? Well,
sorry. Oh, this is my...
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
But where is that? I know you said to be the general idea.
Yes, specifically, we're probably going to sponsor dining and probably spend like $100 in coffee discount. So what's going to happen is literally we're going to put up a $100 to sell it with their own money in order to do that. And then we have another couple of things that we might shoot us on that after as well. But those are kind of tentative. It's just really having the possibility of it.
Yes.
So,
the way we're going to actually set it up is we're going to have a voting booth manned by the Elections Committee at three different locations, right? And so what you can either do is you can either vote there or you can basically print out a confirmation that you go to them and you can get a discount there, and which studio will be there.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Yosley.
There is a little bit, there's about $500, right, that's left. So between basically our election meeting later in the semester, where I was taking some Zoom talk as well, I just figured, I mean, essentially if it was a $500 that it would be automatically, it could be automatically, like, dumped in. So we figured that it's a little bit more work so that we can also just reiterate this on one to make sure that everyone knows it. There's still a little bit left in the fall, but I mean, just think about like our expenses towards the latter half of the semester in terms of holding election meetings and stuff like that. So just in order to make sure that we have enough hope for our shift now as well as those meetings, as well as anything unforeseen that may come up between now and the end of the semester, I think it would be a good number.
So you're saying what's
without those rates
already planned,
I guess? Well, without those excluded authority reviews, we're actually into our fall reserve right now.
Representative Block.
Okay, I just want to, so is the thing with dining taking place like next week?
Yes.
Okay, and where? And is this money coming from the Student Assembly's budget, this access that we have?
Yes.
Okay,
cool.
Thanks.
All right, next is Representative Kay.
I just want to know, are you going to have candidate profiles, like, in the area where the voting booths are? Because my worry is that people will be incentive of getting coffee and kind of...
Candidate profiles will be online, so they'll be accessible. So they'll also be accessible when you get...
I'm saying that I know how the process works, but I'm worried that people will see that you can get free coffee or... and then just go do something random, and...
So I mean, I can incentivize, if you're saying if I can incentivize making sure that the lecture is fully educated by the candidates, that's an unfortunate problem that I can unfortunately make. Also, if you're talking about like having large scale, like, things for candidates to involve, like, that's probably not going to happen, to be honest.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you vote, you can just click on the candidate and it'll direct you straight to the candidate profile. Representative Smith, did you want to be on the... Did you, yes, you are.
Sorry? That'll be up to the structure of that. I'm gonna assume no on that, but
alright, there's been a call to question and there's been a second. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we will go to a placard vote. If you are in favor of voting yes to resolution, passing resolution 58, please raise your placards. Yeah, listen up again, sorry. Yeah, 15. If you are against Resolution 58, please raise your placards. Resolution 58 passes unanimously. Moving back to Resolution 51. Quick announcement by VP Gitlin.
All right. I know I've been particularly harsh today about tardiness and lateness, and it's the same thing, and absences, and I will continue to be like that for the rest of the semester, but you will not get a late or a half absent if you use the restroom. I'd appreciate if you wouldn't ask questions about that for the rest of the meeting. I've gotten two.
All right. There's your announcement. Next up is, we have just enough people in the room to vote on Resolution 51, addressing women's issues through the internal changes of the Student Assembly. So if any community member is involved in the writing of this resolution, Katie, please come up. If you would like to sit at the table, you're more than welcome. If you want to sit at the table, you're more than welcome. If you would like to, we can move on to another portion of the agenda and come back if you'd like. Yeah, we'll move on to a separate agenda item and we'll come back. Sorry. We'll go on to Resolution 59, formal changes to the SAFC attendance policy. Is Lauren here?
They're coming like a five.
They're coming at five. All right. Moving on to Resolution 60, discovering the necessity of paper syllabi. Andrew Brockman, Asaf Fakin, Kyle Ward. Welcome back. You all have 4 minutes to present your resolution. First on the speakers list is Representative Agard. There's been a motion and a second. Is there any dissent? Would you like, would the sponsors like to move to business today?
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to move this to business of the day. Unless there's any dissent. All right, no dissent. Next on the speakers, do you want to speak on the resolution as well? Go for it. Next is Representative Kerr.
Quick question. Just down to the question.
What?
You say that just here to complete the survey and for a chance to make the delegate card for your
issue card. That would be an excellent link. I'm sorry, there's no color.
Yeah. Where?
Well, surveymonkey.com seems to be the reference to the committee, but if you have thoughts on that, I'd like to hear it. We have someone who has a talent that we've surveyed monkey before and that has. But yeah, go to the website.
Do
you want to ask him?
Oh, okay. Well, we'd ask you to, if
there's any speaker,
so.
Bruce Smith, Roderick, this time.
Next on the speaker's list is Easy. Last on the speaker's list is Easy D. Mensa.
Thanks for this. I was wondering if you could clarify for us where the cash is coming from.
We have a capital in our budget like that, mm-hmm. and nothing else showing up. If you were to use a solution, there might be a time if you want to take out another project and start looking back.
Yeah.
More money to spend it, and now you
Thank you.
Flush. Next is Representative Cruz. Next is Representative Smith. Next is Representative Yazwick.
Bad meal, tons of paper. But
You could amend it if you'd like.
We took steps to make it unbiased. That was a very big concern of the committee. If you don't think this is unbiased, you just think that the survey needs to find out that if we could cut down the film by whether or not the preferences have a lot of paper or not, it's not the main concern. I mean, this issue was brought up.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Desai. Time is running.
Yeah, I mean, overall, this is like a great resolution. It's like you guys have everything covered. I don't think there's really going to be bias coming out of it the way you guys have it presented. Very comes up, I think you guys have enough intelligence to modify it on the fly. That being said, I support this, and I call the question.
Dissent.
There's been a dissent. Can you explain your dissent?
Okay, yeah, so... I can just withdraw.
He'll withdraw. All right. And you're next. So perfect.
So I just wanted to ask, just in case, you know, obviously surveys and incentives kind of seem like a good pair, especially for the environmental committee where you're basically trying to get people to be aware of what's going on, not necessarily make huge changes. I'm wondering, if that's your main tool, is it necessary to use the full $100 in your budget now to do? Like, why did you decide to use 100 instead of 50? I mean, 50, I'm going to be like, oh, great, check $250 just by pulling out the survey. Like,
understandable. And I can't tell you what the marginal difference would be in terms of the amount of respondents that could get between $50 and $100. But I assume it's more. I assume economically it would be more responsive. But I can't tell you what the difference would be. If we have other projects that are already money for money, we'll do it. What I know in committees is many times don't spend their money at all, and we think that this is something we've worked on and we want to get as much data as we can.
So, you think, would you feel like, would you sort of to predict, would you say that $100 is going to be like all you're going to use in the semester, or if you have another, do you think that there's a chance you'll have another survey where again you'll want to use the assessment method where you're going to come back and ask for $100 for your assessment?
All right, there's been a call to question. And there's a second. Is there dissent? Seeing none, we will go to a placard vote on Resolution 60. If you're in favor of passing this survey, please raise your placards. Okay, put your placards down. If you are against the resolution, please raise your placards. If you're abstaining, by a vote of 14-0-1, Resolution 60 passes. Congratulations. All right, there's a quick announcement by Representative Danzer.
Yeah, so yesterday, sorry for being late, I have class, but so yesterday I met with the IFP and the Pan Health separately to talk about the progress of the Greek LGBTQ relations ad hoc committee that was created at the end of last semester. So I just want to give a quick update on what we've been working on, the feedback I heard from the IFP panel, and where we're going.
You have 2 minutes.
Okay, so the committee, for those who aren't aware, was created to improve relations between the Greek and LGBTQ communities, given the amount of overlap they have. Essentially, we started by coming up with what the problems have been with the communities. Greekophobia, homophobia, exceptions, problems. And we also identified potential crises like, a Sun article or something like that that's really comfortable. We've been working on a couple of ideas for solutions, and so that's what we went to the IFP panel about. We had some great recommendations from them, from greater education to greater outreach between the communities, to possibly leveraging LGBTQ students who are in the Greek community to build bridges between the two communities. So if anyone has any questions about what we've been doing or has any other thoughts, ideas, comments, just get in touch with us.
Are there any quick questions? All right. Thank you, Matt, for doing that. Next on the speakers, or next, we are going back to Resolution 51, Addressing Women's Issues for Internal Changes to the Student Assembly. Any community sponsors or anybody would like to go up? Yeah, go ahead, Representative. 16 to pass. They're 15.
He's in the bathroom.
Well, I...
How many... Natalie's on her way back, and Romeo's on his way back. That's 18...
All right. We are going to... we're going to go into recess until 5:25.
We're on recess?
The time is 5:25. Recess. We are reconvening. Moving on to Resolution 51, addressing women's issues through internal changes to the student assembly. The sponsors of the resolution, you have 4 minutes to present your resolution.
Well, we have 4 minutes. All right. So I just want to talk a little bit about the thinking that I've gone through over the past couple of weeks as we discussed this resolution and come to terms with what needs to be essayed and for our attention. So one thing that I think about a lot in the book, hopefully not one, but partly from what Tom Morrison
Design.
How do you know
that
I'll get them more, so I'll get them. I mean, really, the main argument against this is, well, who knows if this will actually solve the issue? And I think that's a fair thing. I can't tell you that I know. None of us can tell you that we know this is really important. But it doesn't mean, you don't need certainty. We don't need to know that it's important for you to die. Right now, you have no better idea. We had less than half of these issues in the public eye, not to mention these issues when they were just on the back burner and no one cared about that. Now that they're in the public eye, we had less than half of them, and no other solution that we're proposing. Is this the best solution? Is this the best solution? Maybe, maybe not. But we need to try something. And if this just so happens to be a poor decision, right? Everything we do can be a poor decision down the road. I'm not saying that's wrong. But if it's a poor decision, then down the road, someone will say, well, this is a poor decision. So how can we explain it? As opposed to if we don't have it, and then what happens? There's no better idea on the table. And next year, who knows whether this issue will be, front and center. And so what do we get done? If this is a failure, if this works, great, right? We did nothing. We are moving forward on this issue. If it's a total failure, at the very least, the next essay, or next thing in 5-10 years, we'll look back at this and say, okay, well, this didn't work. But if we're going to get rid of it, we need to find a way to replace it with something that will work. So at the very least, we keep this issue in the public eye, which is exactly what we need to be doing. We need to make sure that this issue is not sent to the student assembly, because otherwise it gets lost. Right? We have a women's issues committee that has no chair. We end up with, violence against women on campus that just goes unaddressed by the student assembly. And so, whether you think this resolution is the answer, it is at least a good first step. And I think that's the way we need to think about it. Nothing we do is a be-all and end-all. But it is a good way to get the ball rolling. It is a good way to say we're at least engaging with
1 minute.
And we're committed to engage with it in the future. It's not a one-time thing. It's a decision, it's an institutional decision to say, we are doing this and we're in it for the long haul. And so I think I can take any questions.
All right. Point of information, this is a charter change, thus we need 16 yes votes for it to pass. First on the speaker's list is Representative Smith. Next is EVP Mensa.
I just want to say that, you know, in general, I'm against assigning seats to individuals based upon one's sex. You know, that's especially in this case, you know, when women make up half of the campus. You know, definitely not underrepresented. We have women run for the SA. You know, I guess I do think that this SA this year, you know, has done a decent job dealing with women's issues, and you know, can we always improve? Yes. I think a lot of the work that is going to come on this issue will come from groups outside of the SA. I think that's very important. You know, I don't necessarily, you know, think that it's the role of the SA, you know, to assign a seat for this one issue here. You know, and you know, I'm just you know, some other concerns that I have, you know, with this seat here. You know, we've seen in the past that we've had seats designated to certain individuals or constituency groups, and individuals filling those seats, you know, don't really, well, have not in the past, you know, I think we've done a good job this year, have not in the past taken on those issues really, and, you know, I don't necessarily think that this is going to lead to an improvement in how we deal with this issue, you know, and I just think that it's the wrong step, you know. I was talking to some individuals, you know, and I'm not making this point to make light of things, but, you know, in terms of where do we stop, you know, if we have a situation where we have obese individuals who are being attacked on this campus, and we feel that there's not enough representation for them here on this essay, are we then going to add an obesity seat here on the SA? You know, I just think that there are some issues that we have to deal with as a whole on the SA, and I don't necessarily think that adding this seat will change that, you know. So that's my opinion.
You have 30 seconds.
All right, well, I have three issues now. One was that in addition to the address adequately by the SA. That's just...
You have a minute to respond, if you'd like to respond.
That's just grossly wrong. I mean, the only thing we've done in the SA on this issue, that was a resolution I proposed to get it when it was violence against women on campus. That's the only thing we've done. And how good of a job is that? I mean, I haven't heard before, but there's the same amount of value. The second thing that I heard was, we don't want to give this piece to a specific set. I agree. And I'm not doing that. If it's not designated for female students, it's designated for women's issues. Why? Because, you know, I'm not gay, I'm a woman LGBT, and I'm as straight as can be. There's not
any correlation between what you're passionate about and what you are, what you identify. I identify as a straight male, and yet I can represent women's issues, I can represent LGBT students, etc.
Right. That's time. You can, on the next time you have time, you can respond. Representative Gourjani.
I've also gone back and forth on this resolution. Since I will not be voting no, since I've been a standard yes. My one concern is, you said if we find that this solution is ineffective, we can, you know, change our charter again and allocate, you know, have the seats just be an open at-large seat. I just want to point out that you will find it very hard to do that. The women's representative or the representative for women's issues is sitting in the room at the time, because that's like telling me or telling you that I want to abolish the international or the LGBTQ seat, and that's not going to happen. So it's just more of a concern, but I completely agree that these issues do need to be addressed. And just, you know, think about that.
Two things to respond to that. One, judging by what we had recently, I'm not sure having that person in the room will be that big of a deal. And my second point to that, my second thought on that is, it's not that if we found that it wasn't useful that we just flip it back. It's that if we decided that it wasn't useful and we wanted to flip it back, we would need to think of a way to replace it with something better. And that's, I think, the idea. It keeps us engaged. So, yes, it might be difficult to flip it back, but I think it might be difficult to flip it back only if we don't propose to replace it with anything meaningful. If you say, you know, this seat really didn't work, so we have a different idea, and we're going to replace it, I think that's the natural story.
It's still your time, and you have 25 seconds. Yeah.
So one of the things I'm really grappling with is this conversation that if it's not that bad, it might be passed, is why I think this resolution really needs to be passed and why we need 16 votes to it. And the one thing that I think structures us differently than having an elite or having just a chair for the environment, for an environmental position, is that the Women's Issue Committee is a chair position that's voted in terms. I don't know how many years each assembly member has been on the outside, but I can guarantee you I'm one of two people that have been on here the longest. And every year, besides the year that I went, and I'm not trying to make myself a martyr, just besides the year I went, every time we brought up the women's issue seat, everyone laughed. They giggled. I'm not trying to call anyone out, but everyone just said, hey, Rex, one of two things last year. And think of that. We don't have that for the environmental community. The environmental community gets chaired instantly. If that was a problem, then you'd be jumping at it. The women's issue chair is not being addressed, it's being made a joke, and it's not a joke on campus ever. This isn't something that is not that bad for the
seconds.
It's something that is needed to be passed, and I would really, really urge you guys to think of a reason not to do it. Because if you look at our precedent, this is
five
something
seconds.
That needs to change.
All right, that's time. Next is Representative Agard. We have a very long speakers list. Please be respectful. Representative Agard.
You can take this back.
They will not be able to officially fill the seat because they didn't run on that platform. So it wouldn't be fair to them. If they want to assume the responsibilities, of course they can do that, but this seat will not come into effect until the next spring election cycle. Because we still need to get President Scorton's approval once if this gets passed. So that was important information. Give him 2 minutes. You have his time, yeah.
All right, I think that's a legitimate concern. And so I think what happens in the end is
that
we compartmentalize every system. You know, we look at one issue and the next piece and the next piece. If we look at this holistically, this seat serves a huge number of purposes that are all going to be positive, one of which is parents getting a care for women's issues.
one of which is addressing limitations on kitchens, which are not simply limited to files. I know that was, I think, my third point earlier, was that it's not just about, you know, because violence was committed, therefore we have to address it. That's a, you know, that's maybe the last straw for me, but that was certainly not the one reason for this resolution. So, you know, we have a lot of different reasons. You know, we need someone who can work with the women in the resource. We need someone who can work on it. So there's a lot of possible things to vote for this. And if one of us is urging you, at least the other you see as good reasons to vote for this.
All right. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Desai.
I'll try to make this brief. There's been a couple of people who have said that, like, with this seat, we're then designating a member of the assembly responsible for women's issues, and then other people will be able to fill that role. I think that's just ridiculous, just saying that without that, because we have minority seats, no one else on the assembly cares about minority issues. I guess, like, speaking personally, like, my job as a minority seat is to be a liaison to the community, be a liaison to students, and bring issues to the table that the student assembly can discuss. Last year, when Natalie was chair of the women's committee, she did this whole, like, blue light campaign where she wanted people to hand out lollipops in front of Black Cafe. When she asked people if they wanted to do it, like 5 or 6 people responded, like, me and Gitlin spent our Tuesday afternoon handing out lollipops saying, like, blue light for blue safety or something like that. It's not that we didn't want to do that on our own, but it's that we needed someone who was taking time out of their to push that initiative while we took time to do the things that we were most passionate about. So it's not saying that students on the assembly don't care about women's issues. It's saying that we're all here to represent our constituencies, and we don't have 30 hours a day to work on student assembly things. But if someone has the time to focus on those issues and bring them to light, then we have opinions and passion to shine on the person. So I don't think it's saying that no one else in the assembly is going to care about women's issues, but I do think that we need someone to represent that constituency so that
issues
can be brought to the table so that we can vote on them.
20 seconds.
Oh, I think so.
Sorry. I said 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I mean, just in general. I guess with the last of my 20 seconds, like, you shouldn't be thinking about this in a sense of, do we need to put all of the burden on one person, but more, is this a constituency that deserves enough attention that one person is focusing on bringing those issues to the assembly? And in my opinion, that's a very clear yes.
And that's perfectly on time. Next is Representative Kerr. To who?
Represent someone else, everyone. Let's have someone who really represents the issue.
That's done. Representative Proust. Is there, what's the dissent? All right. Do you withdraw? I don't have you on the. All right. I'll put you in here, Representative K.
I support this. I think that. I think it's not even an issue of representation in numbers. I don't think the issue is that Natalie and I are the only people up in the FA. I think that it's an issue of people representing the constituency. So even if next year, the year after, we have a 50-50 split of girls and boys on the assembly, I still think it's benefit the assembly and, you know, the school is to have somebody specifically devoted to that decision. And I can yield my time to Brock.
All right. Well, Brockton, you're next.
Yeah, I mean, I just find vote on the voter resolution, but there is one concern I have that has nothing to do with the The conservative, so in my mind, there's no philosophical tilt. We're talking about changing three undesignated at large two, and what possible are on that two. I think that it has the potential electorally, and Charlie should comment on this possibly. There are a lot of candidates who like to run for the undesignated at-large seats. Currently, we have how many?
We have nine outside of presidential and vice presidential race.
The president and vice president will be four, probably, of those seats. So if this change were to take effect, the nine people who are running outside of the president and vice president would probably have no shot of even getting one of them on the SF. So that election pretty much ceased to exist. It would just be a fallback for people not to run for president and vice president.
I agree with the idea that that is a major issue. I think the bigger issue is in our election. The idea that the rollover from the president and executive vice president goes to the undesignated at large seat rather than people specifically running for those seats is a problem. And yes, Guys, just a quick point of information. So here where it says three and two, three is crossed out and then two at-large seats, that's actually a typo in the original charter. It should read five crossed out to four. So there are two separate issues that we have to address. And so if you would like, we could make an amendment to, and put five crossed out five and put four. I would urge you all that if you vote for the substance of this resolution, and if the substance of this resolution doesn't pass, then we can just create a new resolution just to fix the typo. Because we do have to write a resolution to fix the typo.
So
in the actual charter, when we were updating it, it was either in the resolution that I passed or was in the change from the old charter to the new charter. I don't know where it appeared, but the typo cropped up somewhere. So we're going to change. So I'm going to go ahead and make that amendment, and if somebody dissents, then we'll go ahead and vote. But you dissent?
Yeah.
All right. So then I'll just withdraw it, and we can do a separate resolution for it.
Under what we currently believe to be the case, so it's not actually written in our chart, there should be 5 undesignated at large. Our chart currently says 3, that there was some sort of typo in the changes to the When I made this resolution, I based it on our current source of the charter online, so it says 3 and I thought that was
so hypothetically, no change
to the actual time to be 2 undesignated. Assuming that we pass the 6 typo in the
Yes. All right, but not on this resolution. All right, next on the speaker's list is Representative Block.
I have a point of information.
Point of information, yes.
So,
to me, to the chair.
Can I do it to Charlie?
No.
Okay.
I'll refer to Charlie.
So, to the chair, can you clarify what the current election seating and future election seating would be after this? So, is it 4 for executive slate and runners up, and then 3 more, because I remember the resolution being adding 3 seats, but based on Brockman and Dan's conversation right now, it sounds like there's only 1 seat. And yeah.
All right, let's let Ari come up, if you want to explain it, Ari. Any other points of information? All right, next, Representative Block, you're up. All right, you'll mind then. You'll keep time. Representative Shep is up.
I yield up.
Director of Elections, Fang.
So I just have a couple of thoughts on this. I think the biggest challenge a lot of people have is just in terms of objective thinking about this is obviously we as representatives want to think that we represent all represent all students, whether they be male or female or so on and so forth. And I think the two considerations we need to think about are first, are we covering linked issues? And if the answer is no, then right, then you talk about implementation, how you want to think about implementation. And the second concept we want to talk about is there a necessity to designate a seat for specifically for women's issues, or can this be more so positioned in terms of us asking the Women's Resource Center to send a liaison to this assembly, much like the Greek liaison, much like the trustees, and much like the Residential Student Congress. Right. And I think the biggest question I think about when I think about designating specific representatives, I think about what we designate already, right? LGBTQ, international, minority. And what I think about when I think about those specific categories is that those represent minority-like producers within the broader RL community.
Now, and that's the primary conflict I have internally with this resolution, is if women represent 50% of our constituency, why are they inherently, should they be designated as seats that we normally designate to minority communities, whereas why can we solve the issue simply with the liaison from the Women's Resource Center that sits currently on the student assembly that is actually elected by the people within the Women's Resource Center?
So
the first thing is, if you look around the room, which one of our liaisons are currently here? Greece?
Right.
Well, when Greece was there, she would come too, and I remember Russell would be here last semester as well.
Is RSB here? Alright, and then I see the other one? Trustee.
And you was here.
Right off the And that would be Brad. Right. Ethan was in the back, he's not here anymore. Right, he says hi. So if you want someone who will say hi,
30 seconds.
That's good. If you want people to deal with these issues, I think we need a seat. And I think the second point you made about women not being underrepresented on the campus, I agree. I think, 50% of the campus are women. And that's why I reframe this as women's issues, not female. Because while women on campus are not underrepresented in the community, women's issues certainly are underrepresented on campus.
3 seconds.
And so I think that's why it's important to ask this deep, because women's issues are what's underrepresented.
Yeah. Sure. You have a minute to say whatever you want. Thank you. So, are there any motions on the floor?
Actually, I'll say my.
All right, he was on the speaker's list.
I do support the resolution, but continuing with that idea, don't you think that if there was a representative from the Women's Resource Center, then she will be a lot more focused on women's issues at all times? I mean, looking at the minority representative or international representative, I can tell you that they don't, only focus on minority issues or international issues. But if you're looking for a very strong voice that's going to be dedicated to women's issues at all times, you might want to consider that. Now, I do support the resolution, but I think you'd potentially have a stronger voice on this body if it is directly from Women's Resource.
Last up is Representative Fruth. You have a minute, you're on the second speaker's list.
Well, to clarify what you said, I know the Women's Resource Center has 7:35 on Thursday, and we're trying to start on Yeah. And I know that doesn't change in our scheduled time, and it doesn't change. So, I mean, the extent of their resources as well as their membership that they cannot give. I mean, to have a WRC meeting is just not a plausible option. But to have a Women's Issues representative, that can be separate from the WRC, That company is possible. This isn't someone who's going to be a direct link to Trump and Dutch. It's not going to necessarily be one. But to make those generalizations are rash, and it's not acceptable for the student body to make that generalization. So I really hope that everyone on this slide will take that into consideration as well and vote yes.
Yeah, you have 30 seconds.
Well, and people want to be responsible for bringing issues. I mean, as many people have said, we should all be thinking about these issues. And I think it should be on the
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say. To draw an analogy, I'm not, you know, Haven is not the only group, piece of the puzzle on LGBTQ issues. So there's the LGBT Resource Center, there's Haven, there's this position. You know, that's institutional. That's a way of dealing with LGBTQ issues
20 seconds.
On a massive scale. And we don't do that with organizations. And those are arguably, those are just as important as issues with any other community. So why not have an all of rather than a
10 seconds. Last in the speaker's list is Representative Smith. You have a minute.
But I would say, to me, that's just all it sounds like, because they're the only ones right now who are actually functioning as that entity for women. And I can see that as a function of that, they're absolutely right. They should be the only ones who are living in that. And earlier, I didn't believe at all that they're functioning. We don't propose a great thing. There are some things that come out of the way. However, at the same time, we still have not adequately addressed all these issues.
Five seconds. That's time. Next is
cool.
We have one more person on the speaker list, Representative Chef. What?
I understand the concern of having a liaison from the Cusco WRC. I think that what possibly would be, you know, an interesting compromise and maybe the women's issues and the women's issues committee stronger would be to have a, not necessarily a liaison in the SA, but a designated seat or possibly even a chair of the student assembly committee on women's issues from the WRC. I think that that way, we have collaboration between the SA and the WRC, and
or culture.
We're able to work better together than
what?
Having, you know,
said
you know,
that.
Having this culture and not knowing what's going on in both bodies at the same time.
The only thing I would say to that is that the Women's Issues Committee hasn't had a single time this year. So we could have a WRC representative on the Women's Issues Committee, but if they're not meeting, it does nothing.
15 seconds.
But the point of having the Women's Issues representative is that they're going to be chairing the committee.
Right.
Hopefully, if this passes, I think that having a
WRC meeting in April under my watch. But beyond that,
there'll be what? You'll get 2 minutes to close your resolution. Is there any motions?
Motion. Call to question.
And there's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, you have 2 minutes to close your right.
All right. I think a lot has been said, and let's just boil it down to what this is about. Yes, there are compromise solutions. There are things you can come up with to try and beat around the bush here. But at the end of the day, two things matter. One, both matter. That's what it comes down to. Both matter. And to have someone who can vote and who can advocate for these issues at every single food assembly meeting, regardless of the vitality of the Women's Issues Committee, is crucial to addressing these issues in an institutional all of Cornell approach. The second point is that, yes, I granted nothing we do generally, we know is the perfect answer to all of our problems. This may not be the cure-all, this may not be the silver bullet, but if it isn't, if it is, that's really wonderful. You've done something great.
1 minute.
If it isn't,
then this will keep us engaged. Then we'll have to find a way to repeal and replace, right? As opposed to simply letting it all just go away. So I think if you are committed to keeping the Super Assembly engaged on these issues, then this is a first step towards ensuring that goal. If you don't think, if you think we've done a scandy job addressing the issues of violence against women, plus a lot of other women issues on campus, then you may want to vote against it. But I can, you know, you heard it from a member of the WRC, you heard it from us, you see
20 seconds.
Your friend, women issues are not addressed on campus, and I hope you all vote for this first step for your campus.
All right, thank you. We will now go to a roll call vote. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
The son would like to quote me on this. Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yep.
No.
Pass.
Yes.
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 By a vote of 16-1-1, the resolution passes. All right. Next. On next up, resolution 59, formal change to the SAFC attendance policy. Welcome, Student Assembly, Finance Commission.
You know, identify the constituencies you're not in. I work for them.
You know, identify a constituency I don't work for.
I mean, you don't work for them. Well, you advocate for constituencies
you're not in.
They
tell us
that you have
happened.
Oh, you mean personal member of it.
All right, we have more items on the agenda. Will all Student Assembly members please sit down? All right, do you want this to be business of the day? Gitlin. All right, there's a motion to move this to business of the day. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we will be voting on this today. You have 4 minutes. Please speak. Hello. Just so you all know, this did come up a few days ago, and the SAFC co-chairs asked us why it wasn't already in their SAFC guideline or their internal functioning guidelines, and it was passed. But for some reason, the reason why we can't just add it is because the resolution specifically states, you know, we passed the attached document. But for some reason, the attached document is nowhere to be found online, so we're forced to repass it. And I would like to strongly note that this is the internal functionings of this SAFC, and we should probably grant them discretion to determine their own internal functionings. First on the speaker's list is Representative Cruz. Wait, so will you enact this as retroactively or not? It's already, so you are, yes, essentially yes. So yes, okay. Next is VP Finance Nicoletti.
Yeah, I mean, we really shouldn't spend too much time on this, but this is obviously closing a loophole, especially when we're going to be trying to implement new SAFC guidelines in the next year. It's important that the SAFC has a strong attendance policy, and you know, I definitely commend the leadership in the SAFC for continuing and improving kind of the attendance that you guys have been calling, even though it's been a little dramatic in the last week. So, yeah, definitely vote for yes, obviously.
Next is EVP Mensa.
Thank you. So, my only concern with applying this retroactively is that, you know, I believe there are a few commissioners who would, based on this policy, be in violation and would be off the commission based off of this. And I also understand that those members, when a vote came up to remove them last Monday, that vote failed. And so we have a commission going on the rules that are currently in the charter. They already voted no to remove those individuals. And then if we pass this, the difference in 3 or 4 days, they're off. I just think that there's something wrong with that, you know. So that's my big problem with applying this retroactively.
Yeah. Time to respond if you'd like. Yeah, you're fine. Hey guys, please listen up.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
All right, next on the speaker's list is Representative Desai.
All in all, no real reservations for the resolution. I guess something that I really truly wanted to speak towards is just the fact that, you know, Kevin, Kristen, you guys are up there with Adam, and that you guys work on this collaboratively. I guess, like, moving towards next year, like, I guess I would hope that we see more of, like, SAFC as a collaboration and not as much, like, fighting between the two groups.
All right. There's been a call for question and a second. And there's dissent. Is it dissent? You just want to speak?
Yeah, I just want to add a comment. That's all.
You're a sponsor.
I know, but I just want to add a comment.
Can you just respond to my statement before I call the question?
All right. If you have a minute.
Sure.
I hate this. Go ahead.
Sorry, no, the only other
thing. Can you just withdraw?
That's what I said.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so the only other thing that I would say is, in terms of just the vote right now, like, we had someone at 13 points, right? So if they give another point, they're automatically off. Like, I'm just a little confused on how we're going to maintain, like, the new rules. We obviously voted when we didn't, like, we voted on this system, but essentially we didn't follow it in a letter, right, when we voted. And then what I'm saying right now is, like, what happens if someone, you know, accumulates another point if they're above the 11 right now?
Yeah,
right. So can I propose that we refer everyone above 5 to 5? Just so that way we're implementing it in a fair way, just because like now, because it wasn't our charter, and then now it's officially our charter.
Could you make that as an official amendment to be it therefore resolved?
Sure, be it therefore resolved that going forward on this semester, anybody with more than 5 points is at 5.
Anybody who what?
Who has more than 5 points gets as 5 points, so they have awards right now.
Yeah, please, it's an amendment.
Can you tell me the official wording, please? Give me the microphone back.
All right. So we have an official amendment. Thus, we are going to be opening up a new speakers list. And we'll be voting on that amendment separately to the resolution. And so we're getting the official wording right now, but it's going to be something to the effect of, be it therefore resolved that all commissioners who have more than 5 absences will now be considered to have 5 absences. I don't know if that amendment is in order. I don't know if we can declare that, but I think that it's an important issue to weigh in on, and let's discuss it. So, Representative Kerr is first. Yeah, sure. I'll give you 1 minute to address it, and then Representative Kerr will be next.
Because there's not going to be enough opportunities on a week-to-week basis.
So why should
you give them a certain amount of time? It's just a matter of, are there going to be those opportunities? Who knows? Like, it's up in the air.
I think there should be opportunities. You make a good point. I think if you look at individuals who are given sufficient flexibility, you give them tremendous flexibility, right? Like, 11 points, should we have all our policy? Should that mean you are not, bound to people in our corners? Here would be all the positions, and given to
on the first, yeah, I'll be next. All right, Representative Kerr, you have 1 minute.
I respect your position, but and your logical thinking, but I think that the actual fact that it's kind of unfair to impose rules retroactively, and I think that an organization has to be bound by its charter, and its charter doesn't include it because it's an oversight of something. That's unfortunate, but you need to be bound by the charter.
Point of information, I would just like to say that until a week ago, the entire commission, and including the commissioners, assumed that this was the policy. I'm just putting that out there. But when the co-chair spoke to us about the policy, we realized that it just wasn't in the charter. So I'm just letting you know that that was the assumption going forward. So you have 30 seconds to respond to that. Alright, next is EVP Mensa.
I just want to say, that I don't want to, talk too much about the commissioners who are up for a vote and what the motivations are, because we're not here to reply to that, but in terms of Representative Kerr's comments and Representative Fang's comments, I agree 100%, regardless of, there was some confusion in the past about whether this policy was actually in the charter, but clearly when you went online, the policy was nowhere to be found. So this was more of an internal document. And, at the end of the day, if we pass an amendment, and if it doesn't make it to our charter, and we're under the assumption, that this is the rule here, this is the rule, and if time passes by, years and years, where it's not in the charter, I don't think that it's fair for us to use that rule because it's not actually in the document, And so, I support this because, I just don't think that it's fair to retroactively impose this on those members. Next is Representative Danzer. You have a minute.
So amazingly, I actually trust the FASB to run their internal operations. What other groups do we really put our fingers all over and get in their faces? I mean, if they want to make an internal change, and really, 13 points, if this person would have racked up 13 points, that's just ridiculous, okay? If we used the state criteria for the SA, this person would be long gone at 13 points. So, give the people what they want.
30 seconds.
And I'll yield back to the chair.
All right, thank you. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Desai.
So, I guess the first thing to mention is that, this amendment came from a past SAC co-chair, so it's not like it's coming out of the blue or anything. Second of all, the SAC attendance structure is a little bit different from the SA. It's not a once-a-week meeting. A lot of these things are, consecutive days in a row. And if you're out of town for something like an interview for 3 days, you can rack up a lot of points very, very quickly. A question to Kevin and Kristen. There were certain people that already got voted upon by the SAFC, right? So they got to the 7 and 9 level. I'll make an amendment to Charlie's amendment and try and strike a balance here and change it from 5 points to 9. And that way, they're not automatically disqualified as of now, but they're still close enough where they have to work towards it a little bit to get it down from where they're not on the brink.
Okay, so you have a minute to respond, but we have an amendment to the amendment, thus we're starting a new speaker's list.
Can I just find that amendment friendly?
Yes, you can find that amendment friendly. All right, so it's now 9. So go ahead. Yeah. All right. Rate is now, it is officially 9.
Can I call the question at the end of 9?
No, it's too late. Representative Sheff. We also have 6 people on the speaker's list.
So, I'm not sure if it's a question or what, but if you make it 9 now, if you make it to them so that they go to 9, and then you enact these rules, and they get 2 more points, they're off. There's no vote. It's an automatic removal.
Right.
At this point, did you guys say that these people, if they got any more points, would be automatically removed? Or are you still voting on them even though they're above 11 points?
So
I think that I'm not sure if bringing it down to 9 is the proper way to do this, because then they're automatically off, which at this point, they're not if they just put their
members. I mean, I hope that at this point, the members who have gotten over that many points want to be on that list so they start coming to our meeting. It takes a ridiculous amount of points to get inserted in. It happens with a lot of stuff. You have to miss some stuff. And I think fair. I think 9 is fine. I think let that person an opportunity to make up the point at 9, get down to 7 so they don't get voted on anymore. But I think any more than that would be unfair to the rest of the commission.
So I get that, and obviously I agree with that. I agree with Representative Danson. I think that we should give you what you want. If you're fine with 9, that's fine with me, but that would mean, it says if the commissioner reaches 11 points, they'll be automatically removed from the commission without a vote. So if it's fine with you that if these people were moving back to 9 and get 2 more points and they're off, then it's fine with me.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
I think there's only one person who has over, there's two people actually, but I think one of them made up an hour, so there's one person at like 7, there's one person at 8, one person at 10, and then there's one person at 13, right? So this additional flexibility is pretty much just the one person who has to be beyond 11, right?
Okay. All right. That's time. Representative Proust, if you'd like to... Actually, hold on. Are there any motions? All right. There's
second.
A second. We are on the amendment. Let's go ahead and do a placard vote. Please raise your placards if you're in favor of the amendment. Hold on. Can I get the official wording? Sorry. Put your placards down.
Point it.
You want to dissent? Do you want to speak? Do you want to speak on this? We are going... We have 6 minutes and... It's 6:25. We have 5 minutes. Five more minutes on the essay, in our meeting, we have a point of information. We have five people on the speakers list.
Do the sponsors find this amendment friendly?
Do you find this amendment friendly? I'll honor that. Are you okay with this amendment if we vote on it? Yes. Okay. So, now, we still have a dissent. Are you going to withdraw or not? No. Yes or no?
I just want to say something
quickly. No, we're going to vote to... No, but I... Okay, we're going to vote to vote. If you'd like to vote on the amendment, please raise your placards. No, because that's the thing. Everybody dissents when they want to speak, which is not a legitimate dissent. So, vote to vote. We need two-thirds to pass. Wait. Can you just withdraw your dissent? All right, that passes. He's withdrawing his dissent. We are now voting on the amendment. Can we have the official wording of the amendment, please? I'll read it out. Be it therefore resolved that any members that have more than 9 points currently will have their point total
reset
to 9.
Sorry.
All right? You get it? Any questions? Would you like me to repeat that? Does the clerk have it? All right, I'll repeat one more time. Be therefore resolved that any members that have more than 9 points currently, so the date is on the resolution, will have their point total reset to 9. So if they have more than 9, their point total will be reset to 9. And that's the amendment. All right. That is in the official record. We are now voting on the amendment. Please raise your placards if you're in favor of the amendment. Thirteen. Gitlin, are you voting on this? That's 14. Raise your placards if you're against the amendment.
Oh, sorry.
1, 2, 3, 4. If you're abstaining, by a vote of 13 to 4 to 0, the amendment passes. We are now going back to the main motion. There's a call to question and there's a second. Is there any dissent? There's a call for acclamation. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the resolution passes. Back to motion. And does that conclude our agenda?
We have 57 votes.
All right, with that,
yeah.
I'm adjourning the Student Assembly meeting.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.